Good morning, y'all. I greet y'all in the name of Jesus this morning. I was blessed and encouraged being here this morning already. When Marlon asked me to share here the other week, I wasn't sure. I was praying on what I should share on. And then a little later last week, I had a little experience that stirred my thoughts. I was standing in, I would stop in at my brother's house, at Mark's house, to pick something up, and I was standing in the yard, was talking, and all of a sudden I just started feeling a little bit dizzy, and I just kind of, just my balance just wasn't there. I just, when I walked, I just felt like I could, anytime you could just fall. And I think it was something to do with my sinuses or something, because I took some sinus medication and next day or so it was fine, but it stirred my thoughts, and that at one we can be think we have a good balance. I know over the years working in construction, I don't know that I have the best balance, but I feel fairly comfortable on with heights and roof and walking on walls. And I know we've worked with people already that they won't want to get up on a roof or a wall, or they'll scoot across it or something. And I was just thinking, you know, I feel fairly comfortable with heights and walking on walls, but it's kind of out of my control. You could say it's a gift, or it's something that God gives us, a balance. And then I was thinking of the scripture where it says, "Take heed, ye stand, lest ye fall." And then I was reading in John 15, and that kind of John 15, it kind of summed up some of my thoughts I was having. So I thought I would share out of John 15, the first 10 or 11 verses. So we'll read it here. We'll read down to verse 11. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So in the first verse, we see it says, "I am the vine." And that word "I am" kind of stuck out to me this time here, because here a couple months back, probably a month or two back, I was came across some "I ams" in Scripture, and it seems like right now we're going through a lot of change with in the last couple of months with thinking of moving and coming here to a new church, and we just had a baby, and it seems like we had a lot of change in this past several months. And I may have shared some of this with some of your brothers before, But if you think of Christ, he says, I am. And he doesn't change. He doesn't say, I was, I will be, but he says, I am. And the first I am we see in Scripture was in the Old Testament when God spoke to Moses in Exodus 3:14. God says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. So God is, he is I am. He never changes. And then Jesus came along, 1,500 years later, Jesus spoke these words, I am. So we'll go through, I have several scriptures here of Jesus where he spoke them words in the different I ams. You don't need to turn to them. I have them printed out here, so it'll go through them rather quickly. First in here is John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. There we see he says, I am the bread. He is our nourishment. And in John 8:23, and he said unto them, now ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. He says, I am from above, I'm not of this world. And in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So there we see he is the light of the world. I guess some of my point for bringing out some of these I ams is a little later on when we talk about he is the vine, we could kind of think back of what that vine really, what it is or what it all consists of, all the I ams that Christ is. And then John 10:7, and said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So there we see he is the door. He is, in another place it says, I am the way. In John 10:11-12, it says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose sheep are not, seeing the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep, fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. There we see Jesus is a good shepherd. And in John 10:36, say ye to him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. So there it says he is the Son of God. And in John 11:25, Jesus said unto them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But he is the resurrection and the life. And in John 13:13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. There we see he is Master and Lord. And in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then here in John 15:1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So he is the vine. Then in Revelations, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is to come, the Almighty. And then in Revelations 1:17-18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he lay his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So there we see he is alive forevermore. So he was, and he will be, and he's alive forevermore. And here in John, we see him as our vine, our source. If we think of all those I ams, it's the same I am as what we are connected to if we are in the vine. And the next thing that I seen is that I am the true vine. And I looked into that a little bit, what he meant by true vine. But in the Old Testament, he refers to Israel. Israel is often referred to as a vineyard. And I have a couple of scriptures here. It says in Psalms 88 and 9, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest a room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land." So he was referring to that he brought a vine out of Egypt, meaning the Israelites. And in Isaiah 5:7, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his plants, pleasant plants. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, and for righteousness, but behold, a cry." And in Jeremiah 2:21, "Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned unto the degenerate plant, and of a strange vine unto me?" So we see with Israel, they became a strange vine unto him. They were not the true vine. So Christ came, and he was teaching his disciples. He said, "I am the true vine." So they were probably familiar with the Old Testament of him being, of the Israel being a vineyard or a vine. But he comes and he tells them, "I am the true vine." And we can draw our nourishment or fulfillment from many things, but we need to be connected to the true vine. Sometimes we are. Yeah, people, we draw, we get our strength or our fulfillment from materialism, from things, from collecting or getting wealth, or just, it could be many things. Sometimes we can get our source, we can think it's the church, but or even false religion, or just being self-righteous. But if we're not connected to the true vine of Christ, there's no true fulfillment, and there's no true joy, like it says in verse 11. And we also see, because my Father is the husbandman. So a husbandman, the meaning of a husbandman is a farmer, a tiller of the soil, a vine dresser. Sometimes I thought of a husbandman because later on down in verse 3, verse 2 here, it says about purgeth, and about down in verse 4, or in verse 6, he talks about cutting off or casting a branch off. So sometimes when I thought of the word husbandman, as God being the husbandman, Christ the vine, we are his branches if we are grafted in. God as a husbandman, he's not there just to cut and snip, but the job of a husbandman was to take care of the vineyard, and he would nourish it, he would tend to the needs of the vineyard. If you look up the what a husbandman did. I'll just read off some things that I have here. Is to cultivate, to prune, to tend to grapevines, to manage your soil health, to protect the plants from pests, and oversee grape harvest. They were pruning and training, cutting back overgrowth and unproductive branches to maximize strength and quality of the grapes. Weeding, applying fertilizer or compost, and adjusting the trellis to ensure grapes receive proper sunlight and airflow. And then harvesting, picking grapes and picking the grapes at peak ripeness for fresh eating and pressing into wine. So here we see God is he is the husbandman. He's not there just to prune and to cut off branches, but he is there to tend and to nourish those branches. If you think of a vineyard, I don't have much experience with grapes, but I think the husbandmen, they would go, and if there's limbs that hang down, they would go and maybe tie them up or get them to crawl on the trellis. So they train. I think that's what they call it. They train the vines to grow along the trellis. And another scripture that talks about a husbandman in 2 Timothy 2:6 is the husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruit. So if Christ is if God is our husbandman, he should be. He said the husbandman. He's first to be partaker of the fruit. He should be receiving the fruit from our lives for His glory. Because our fruit is for His glory and not for ours. And we see also in James 5 that we have a patient husbandman. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. So we see that God is a patient husbandman. He wants our fruit to mature and to be sweet. As we think of grapes and think of fruit in our lives, it takes time for them to mature and to become sweet. When they're young and not ripe yet, they're still grapes, but they can be a little sour and not ready to pick. But here we see that God waits until they're ripe. And then in verse 2, every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. So if we are dead branches, we see that he takes away the fruit. He takes away, he cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit. And he cast them out. But if we are bearing fruit and have things in our lives that may not that may hinder us from bearing the most fruit, he wants to prune them off. And sometimes that can be painful, and we don't always like that, but it's for that our fruit will mature properly and will grow. The word purge has the same root word in Greek as the word cleanse or clean. It means to the word purge is to prune, cutting away. If you look up the word prune, cutting away dead wood, excess leaves, and anything that drains energy from the plant. So he wants to cut off the things that drain the energy, that want to suck the life out of us, and that hinder us from bearing fruit. And the other word for meaning of purge was to cleanse, to purify, and wash. It's purifying or washing, removing dirt, pests, or anything that hinders healthy development. So he wants to cleanse us and wash us, and In verse 3, it said, "Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you." He was talking to his disciples. They had just come from the Last Supper, and he had washed their feet, and he had told them that they are clean, all but one, referring to Jesus. And we can be cleansed by the washing of his word here in Hebrews 9, "For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh." And we got something wrong there. Okay, then, verse 14 is what, "But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." There we see he uses that same word, purge, is to remove and cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. One method I've seen that they use, the vinder, the husband would use to purge or to prune, is when the little shoots that were not going to be fruit bearing, when they were very young, they'd come through and just pinch them off, and very easily pinch them off, or even they could even brush them off. I had to think, in our lives, do we allow him to do that early on? Or do we hang on to those things to where he has to come through with the snippers and make it more painful and cut the bigger, unfruitful things off? So let us be quick to allow him to cleanse us from those little things. Verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Ye cannot, except ye abide in me." And that's kind of where my thoughts went when I shared earlier about my losing my balance, is without him, if we don't abide in him, we can't bear fruit. We don't do anything. In verse 5, it says, "As a vine, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And the word abide, it means to dwell, or to continue to dwell. Not just a one-time stop, but it means to dwell, to tarry, to remain. And so, when we come to him, when we come to him for our salvation, at the start, when he grafts us into the vine, we need to dwell there. We need to stay there and not think we can do it on our own. We need to have unbroken fellowship with him. To abide is to dwell and reside, making our home there. To make our home in Christ, and allow his teachings and love to shape our daily thoughts, actions, and character. some more scriptures on abiding. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So we see two contrasts. If we abide in the vine, we can have life, and if not, we are cut off, and there is no life. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So if we abide in Christ and let his word daily feed on his word and allow his word to allow him to abide in us, and we abide in him, it says we can ask what we will, and it will be done unto us. So I think as we abide in Christ, our desires are going to align with his desires, and our request and our prayers are going to be they're not going to be prayers of selfishness, and so therefore he'll be able to answer our prayers. He'll answer our prayers if we he said, "You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And the purpose of a grapevine is for the fruit, is for the harvest. It's not just for the look, to look nice, but it's for the harvest. And do we bear much fruit? As in Galatians 5, it states, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And in Philippians 1:11, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God." So there we see that if we're ultimately the fruits in our lives, he wants us to bear fruit, but it's for his glory. It's not to get self glory, to look at me. It's for his glory that we bear fruit. And if we keep reading here, it says, "And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And if we continue in his love and allow his love to flow through us and to flow out to others, we will be a blessing to the people around us, and he will get the glory of that. If you keep my commandments and abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we see if we keep his commandments, keep his teachings, the things that we feed on, the things that we read, if we keep his teachings, his commandments, it said, ye shall abide in my love. We will abide in his love. And then in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have joy, and that my spoken to you that ye might," "that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So if we stay connected to the vine and abide in his love, in the things that he teaches us, and walk out his commandments, said we will have joy. All these other vines out there that we may want to receive fulfillment from, they won't bring joy. They may bring happiness for a time, but if we can stay connected to the true vine, we will have joy. And that will be, it says, and that your joy might be full. It won't just be, it'll be full and overflowing, and people around us will be able to we'll be able to see it, and he'll receive the glory from it. So I think I had a couple more scriptures to read here. In Ephesians 3, that ye would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, and that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. In Revelations 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. So if we are not grafted into that vine, he wants us. He's knocking. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we have the choice to surrender and open that door and let him in and allow him to graft us into that vine. That way we can bear fruit, or we can be cast off as a branch that is withered and just and burned. So I think that's all I had for today. I hope you were encouraged as I was as I looked into this. Bless you.